pulpit running tonight. As members of the body of Christ, we like to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. We like to call Bible things by Bible names. Members of denominations tell us that we're too persnickety. One Baptist preacher said, "Do you believe you have to have book, chapter, and verse for anything you teach, believe, and practice? What's wrong with that?" He's trying to make it sound like that we were foolish. But we have to have book, chapter, and verse, don't we? Or we don't practice it. We don't do it. We read in the Old Testament, as we're about to, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. We're going to have it up on the board here. A few verses. But God is very disappointed with his people. And he's telling them that I'm going to destroy you. He gives them another chance if you will turn away from your way. But he pictures the enemy that's coming from the north. This is around 600 B.C. through Jeremiah the prophet. And the enemy's going to come, and he pictures them as a shepherd with his sheep. And the sheep gnaw off the grass to the ground. And that's what he says is going to happen to you. You're going to be destroyed by this enemy from the north. But they didn't listen to God. So Jeremiah says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed. Nor did they know how to blush. Is our nation there? Is the Lord's church getting there? Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you, that is the prophets, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Are we there? Are we sick and tired of hearing lessons on Bible authority, showing us what God said and that he meant what he said? Having Bible authority gives us the power and the right to act and to do what God says and to show our friends and neighbors in the denominational world and those who attend nowhere. And as we've said throughout the week, that we can take our sword of the Spirit and we can take our index finger and we can find in here. We cannot find where the Bible says he that believeth is saved and then should be baptized, can we? We cannot find where the Bible says that we should sprinkle an infant, can we? And on we could go. We need book, chapter, and verse for everything we believe, teach, and practice. Well, what's the need for such a study as this? We ask you the question, shall we use human wisdom? What does the Bible say? And that's what we want to find out. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 said, is not a man that walketh to direct his own steps. But what are most people trying to do today? They're trying to direct their own steps, and they're trying to attend the church of their choice, aren't they? That's what it has said on the backs of these huge semi-trucks. They think they're preaching a good doctrine when they say that. Attend the church of your choice, and that's what they do. A businessman told me, he said when he was in school, he said they told me to move to a big city and to attend the biggest church, no matter what it was. Even if you didn't agree with them, just go there where you could be with more people. Attend the church of your choice. Had nothing to do with the Bible. That's what he was told to do. Not a man that walketh to direct his own steps, but most people think that that's how we do it. Jesus said to the Jews, the Pharisees, and the scribes, "In vain they do worship me. In vain you're worshiping me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Is that true today? Are people worshiping God in vain? Oh, they may be sincere and honest, but when they hear the truth, they are no longer honest if they do not obey. Nor are they sincere. I've had people say, "I see that it's in there, but I see what you're saying is the truth, but." And I say, "But what?" "Well, this is what I've always believed, what I've always been taught. And if you're right," they try to place the blame on us. "If you're right, then that means everybody in my church is going to go to hell." I said, who drew that conclusion for you? That's not what I said. We just pointed out the scripture to you, and you drew that conclusion yourself. Also, the Bible says, people say that this is a book of love letters, that we don't have to preach hard. We don't have to preach lessons like we've preached this week on the one true church. Or is it wrong to dispute denominational error? Oh, don't do that. Yes, there's a lot of love in this book, and God showed us how much He loves us, John chapter 3 and verse 16. But the result of this kind of preaching, where everybody goes their own way using human wisdom, results in denominationalism, which results in religious chaos. Doesn't it? Could Doug go preach for these different denominations? Maybe one time. We don't want you to come back. He's not going to preach on the home. He's going to preach on what they need to hear. We found out that's what Paul did, and that's what Jesus did. It's what all the apostles did when they preached, and what all the first century Christians did. They went after people to save them. Just think of all the billions that are lost, that have been lost, due to the doctrines of men. They died believing they were going to go to heaven, that their spirit was going to be taken to heaven. What a shock. What a shock. And that's why, as we talked about what Jesus said about the scribes and the Pharisees, "You hypocrites, you false teachers, you wolves in sheep's clothing, you serpents and servants of the evil one." We must use God's standard. Is this true? Jesus said, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and earth." And the very next verse he says, "Go ye therefore." The word "therefore" points back to verse 18. "All authority hath been given unto me," Jesus said. "Go ye therefore," because I have all authority. And do what? Go and preach to every nation, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. But people reject their only hope today, don't they? When they reject this truth. Remember when Samuel thought they were rejecting him, and God said, "They're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me." And that's the same thing today. Don't feel bad if you walk out of a Bible study, if your friend or your neighbor or your relative turns you away. They're rejecting God, not you, okay? We need to get over it and not be discouraged. Listen to Acts chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. Peter and John have gone to the temple in chapter 3, and they've healed a lame man, been lame all of his life. Had to be carried there. And they healed him, and they were brought to trial because of what they were preaching. "If we this day are judged," Peter says, "for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," you want to know how he was healed? It was by the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, "whom you crucified." That's plain preaching, isn't it? That's telling it like it is. That's shelling down the corn, isn't it? Telling you are guilty, and here's how we did that. "Whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. He's able to run and to jump and to walk as you've seen him do. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders." By you builders, not by somebody else, but by you, "which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name, no other power, no other authority under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You can't go anywhere else and be saved but by Him. Is that still true? Shake your head this way. Yes, it is. I can't be saved under any other power, any other authority. You want to take a chance? I think I'll go down here to the Methodist Church. I've got some good friends and neighbors. They're Methodist people, and they pay their taxes, and they're real good people. They're honest. They're kind to me. So I think I'll just go down there and listen to what their pastor says. Want to take that chance, folks? Want to send your children down there? Want to send your grandchildren down there? Or to any denomination? You pick. You pick. We're going to be judged by this standard. How do I know? Because the survey says, the Bible says, in John 12 and verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words, Jesus said, has that which judges him. What is that, Lord? The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So had we better go by the rules of the road? You want to take a chance? Go elsewhere? No, you don't, do you? John 8 and verse 31 and 32, listen to what John says. You know this verse. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if, you know, that's a big little word, isn't it? If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples. If what? If you continue in my word, you are my disciples. What's the contrast? What if you don't continue in his word? What are you? Then you're not his disciple. That's a necessary inference, isn't it? Sure is. You can understand that. And you shall know the truth. How will we know the truth? If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Is that over anybody's head? What is the truth he's talking about? Right here. Right here. Too simple to misunderstand. Listen to Paul, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Heard this before? Sure you have. The New King James, or the King James Version said, I beg you, brethren. You ever beg somebody? I plead with you. Well, you can see somebody making a mistake or making an error, and you beg them, please don't go down that path. Don't take that fork in the road in the wrong way. Paul said, I'm begging you, brethren, by the name, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm preaching this, because I have his authority. Well, what do you want Paul to say? He says, I'm preaching with his authority that you all may speak the same thing. You know, I've had people say, you know, that can't be done. We all can't preach alike. That we all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions. No. When I ask people this before I read the scripture to them, can we see the Bible alike? Well, you know we can't. We all can't see the Bible alike. I asked a preacher a few years ago, I said, can two people see the Bible alike? He said, well, sure. Of all the people in the world, yeah, I think two. I said, what about 200? Can 200 see it alike? And yeah, I think of all the millions of people in the world, yes, I think so. I said, well, what about 2,000? He said, yeah, I think so pretty much. I said, what about 200,000? He said, wait a minute, I see where you're going. See, you told me just a minute ago that we all can't see the Bible alike. But you admitted 2 could, 200 could, 2,000 could. See, that ruined his little show, didn't it? Paul said, I beg you that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Men today, men's wisdom said, can't be done. Do we all agree that 2 plus 2 is 4? We do, don't we? We can all see that alike. But you know what these false teachers expect us to see alike? They expect us to see alike that this statement that we all can't see the Bible alike. You get that? We can all understand that we can't all understand the Bible. No, I can't understand that. Just because you tell me that doesn't make that so, does it? Absolutely not. Then Jesus, in his prayer, we interrupt in John 17, beginning with verse 20. Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, for these apostles, but also for those who will believe on me through their word. That's us. We're believing on the Lord through the apostles' words. Isn't that simple? Sure it is. That they all may be what? One. Oh, yeah, that can't happen. This is Jesus praying to the Father that they all might be. You know how many one is? How would you define one? Somebody told me, he said, it's one more than zero and one less than two. That's narrow, isn't it? And Jesus prayed that we all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you. We are one, he says. That they also may be one in us. Is he trying to preach unity? Are you getting that? Sure you are. Why? That, here's the word that. You're going to give the reason. But we all may be one, that the world may believe that you sent me. The chaos that is in the world today doesn't show unity, does it? No, it doesn't. We had a young high school senior a few years ago. He said, I'm so confused, Mo. He said, I've been to nearly every denomination in this city and they all preach something different. Why is that? Why is that? We tried to show him the truth. Tried to show him. But he saw. He saw the error in the way. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring, verse 3, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. No division. And then he goes on in verse 4, for there is one Spirit, there's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. There's as many gods as there are faiths. You see that? But what do we have today? Choose the church of your choice. Has anyone ever asked you, why don't you call Doug pastor or reverend? Well, being an elder here, that would be a scriptural term, wouldn't it? But most of the, I'm going to ask some of these fellows, you need to do a study on the word pastor. And one young Baptist preacher told me, he said, I studied it, Mr. Hafley. And he said, I am not a pastor. He could see it. I said, look at this word. And he went home and he did. I gave him credit for that. And it wasn't long till he quit preaching. I was hoping he'd obey the truth, but it didn't happen. Anybody ever ask you that? Why don't you believe in Christmas? What? You don't have a tree in the foyer? Did you know there's churches of Christ even in Kentucky that do? One in Danville, Kentucky does. There's a faithful church that doesn't, but there is another one just outside that does. And I used to worship with some of those same people. You know what they didn't hear? They didn't hear lessons like this. I know where they grew up and I know what they heard. When I was a little boy, they listened to the same preachers that I did. But we got away from that. And they no longer hearkened to the word of God like the Jews did in Jeremiah. Has anyone ever asked you this? Do you really believe you got to be baptized to be saved? You can't go to heaven unless you're dunked? What do you say? Do you hem-haw around it? Or do you take your Bible and your index finger and you turn to the passages? Can we do that? What is the plan of salvation? Do you know that? Well, I tell you what we do. We said we have an invitation song. Somebody comes forward. The preacher talks to them for a while. And they stand up and ask him some question or something. I forgot what that is. But then they take them back and they baptize them. That's the plan of salvation. Can you give book, chapter, and verse? Can you? Ought to be able to, shouldn't we? Why don't you use instrumental music? Why don't you? They did in the Old Testament, you know. David did. Oh, yeah. Why don't we use instrumental music? Oh. You lose an opportunity to teach when somebody asks you a Bible question? You know, I tell you what. There's nothing wrong with being ignorant, but there's something wrong with staying ignorant, isn't there? People are going to ask you a question that you don't know the answer to. I remember when I first started preaching, I thought I was kind of full of myself. And I was a full-time preacher. Wowee, look at me. And just taught a Bible class, and one little 10, 11-year-old girl came out of Bible class, and she said, "Brother Hafley," before I even got off the pulpit, she said, "I got a question for you." "Go ahead, honey." Well, I'll tell you what, the Lord just ripped my britches, because she asked me a question that I couldn't answer. I didn't remain ignorant, but I couldn't answer, and that taught me something. And I need to learn that. Pride goeth before destruction, doesn't it? And my little haughty spirit was destroyed by that moment. So I need to put God's word in my heart. If I don't know the answers, and like we said the other night, get the tracts and take them home and read them and study them and mark in your Bible and get to the passages. Be able to go to the passages. That when you come upon a Bible study or somebody comes to your house, you're ready to use your weapons. Do you take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Doesn't it become a custom? Huh? Every Sunday? What do you say? Answer these questions. Can you? Well, we say we speak where the Bible speaks. Do we? Where'd that come from? From the Apostle Peter. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him say what God says. Without perversion. There's a lot of people who, like the devil, who can quote Scripture, but they pervert it. Don't they? Using John 3:16, all he got to do is believe, see? God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him. Nothing was said about baptism. Nothing said about grace either. Tell them that in that verse. Nothing said about the confession. So if it's not in John 3:16, then we don't have to do it, right? They're easily answered when you can show it to the truth to them. What did Solomon say, Proverbs 36, verse 6? Add thou not to his words. Why? Lest he reprove thee and you be found a liar. Try to show something's in there that's not in there? You need to be exposed. Speak where the Bible speaks. Listen to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you. Is that over your head? Neither shall you diminish aught from it. Can everybody understand that alike? Sure you can. Neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. The reason you don't add to, the reason you don't take from, is so you will stay in the word. That you may keep the commandments of the Lord. That's why you don't add to. If you add to or take away, you're not staying in the commandments of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 4, 6. About halfway through the verse, Paul said, that you may learn in us, he and Apollos, not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Don't think of men above that which is written. But my pastor said, I see what the Bible says, but my pastor says, and I know he loves the truth, and I know he loves the Lord, and I know he wouldn't teach me error. I see what the Bible says, but, there's that word again. Paul to the Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 16. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Walk by the same rule. You ever play sports? Do they have rules?
I lost a ball game one time because my big toe was on the out-of-bounds line. Oh, come on, ref. Just my little toe.
Was that right? Did he do right? Yeah. Yeah. I was just barely out. See, we can understand it, can't we? Tonight, when we drive home, we're not going to drive home on the left side of the road, are we? When we come to a stop sign, it doesn't mean go, does it? We're not going to try that, are we? See, it's dangerous when you break the rules. Yes, it is. Is God a pattern-giving God? Here's a few reasons that he is. Did he give Noah a pattern for the ark? Yes, he did. 300 by 30 by 50. Broader than it is tall. Yeah, kind of like me. A pattern for the ark, a pattern for the tabernacle. Yes. Did he give Moses a pattern? Yes, he did. Is there a pattern for marriage today? Did God give a pattern? Look at the world, look at our nation, and even in the church many times. We break the pattern. We break the mold. Is there a pattern for salvation? Can you just do what you good and well please? I asked a fellow not long ago. He said, well, I think I was baptized. My parents told me I was. Well, he was a Catholic. See, he didn't even know because he was just a few days old and they sprinkled some water on his head. They told me I was. Is that all right? Oh, I got saved and then I got baptized. Is that what the Bible says? Is there a pattern for the church? Look at these denominations. Do they follow this pattern in here? We find superintendents. We find all kinds of names that we can't read about in the Bible. People who call themselves bishops that don't have a clue what a bishop is in the Bible. They're cardinals. There's nuns. We don't want none of that, do we? No, we don't. The God of the Bible is a pattern God. Question. If there's no pattern, then anything goes. You can start your own church. Doug could start his own church. The Rauschites, wouldn't that be a good one? Or how about the Haefelites or the Moites? There you go. That sounds like a Bible name, doesn't it? If we can do what we good and well please, if this book doesn't mean anything more than that, even though we've read all the scriptures that said we're to walk by the same rule, well, what causes that? A lack of knowledge. You can't read the Bible and say it's okay to choose the church of your choice. Hosea 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed because of ignorance. For lack of knowledge, and that's the definition of ignorance, lack of knowledge. We've already mentioned Jeremiah. Ignorance of the word of God causes me to direct my own steps. I'm the rule maker. I can do what I good and well please when I good and well please. Doctrines of men are all in vain. You want to try your hand at it? You're not going to live on earth forever. I don't know, when we're young, we don't think much about death. But we should. Ever read the obituary column? Not all 80 and 90-year-old people. No, a lot of my classmates have passed away long ago. They died in their youth. Lack of knowledge causes us to choose the death pathway. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Seems right, but it is not. The Bible demands Bible authority. Make all things according to the pattern, Moses was told, Exodus 25 and verse 40. The Hebrew writer promotes the same thing. We've already mentioned 1 Peter 4:11. Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, whatever you do, what must have the authority of the Lord Jesus. If you can't find what you're doing in religion, then you better not be doing it. John says, 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Test them. See if they're teaching what they ought to teach. Jesus said, teach them to observe all things, not some of the things, not part of the things, whatsoever I have commanded you. Again, the Bible demands authority. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Examine yourself, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. And here we go, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why we don't go to Jerusalem 3 times a year for the feast days. Why we don't have animal incense, because we're rightly dividing the word of truth. We're not under the old law. And somebody says, well, you'd mean you're not under the Ten Commandments? Well, 9 of the 10 are in the New Testament. Only one is not. Which one? The 4th one. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. It's not in the New Testament, not in the Lord's New Testament. He said, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Look at the denominational world. 2 John 9. Whoever transgresses, it doesn't matter who it is, and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. But he who abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. You see how unified the Bible is? Pretty clear, pretty plain, pretty easy to understand, isn't it? We've already mentioned Matthew 15 and 9, in vain. Do you ever do anything in vain? Did you? Sure you have. Think about it. How about worshiping God? Don't want to do that, do you? The Holy Spirit was to guide into all truth. Do we have all truth? Jesus said he was going to guide the apostles into all truth. Do we have it all truth? Do we need a Book of Mormon? We are given all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. Do we have all things that pertain to life and godliness? If you have all things that that pertain to a computer or to a car? Is there something else you need if you have all things that pertain to it? No. Same way with the scripture. Jude verse 3 says, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. We don't need any new commandments. I see these televangelists, oh, the Lord spoke to me. Some of you are too young to remember them. The PTL club. We called it the Pass the Loot Club. They begged for money. And the preachers lived in mansions. Earnestly contend for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Can't please God without faith, can we? The book of Hebrews tells us, chapter 11 especially, we must worship God in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Is anything other than this the truth? No, it is not. No, it is not. Well, how do we get the faith? Does faith still come by hearing? I've heard people witnesses in their services. Oh, I was at a stoplight. One fellow said, I was at a stoplight and the Lord came upon my heart. And I became a Christian right then and there. Another fellow said, I was driving and I was in a snowstorm in the same building, the same hour. The Lord came into my heart in that snowstorm. I thought I was going to die. That's when I got saved. Is that what the inspired writer says? Faith comes by hearing. Is that still true? Sure is, isn't it? When they heard this, people to be saved have to hear the truth, don't they? But when they believe Philip preaching, those in Samaria, chapter 8 and verse 12, they were baptized, both men and women. Jesus had said in Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go preach. They have to hear. Faith comes by hearing. Acts 9 and verse 16, or verse 6, Paul had asked, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? I like reading that to people who think he was saved on the road to Damascus. Paul didn't know he was saved, did he? He said, Lord, what did the Lord tell him? Go into the city, and there it shall be told thee what thou must do. Oh, you don't have to do anything, I hear. Yes, you do. What they say in Acts 2 and verse 37. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Wouldn't that have been a good time for Peter to say, do? You believe Jesus is the Son of God? You're saved. Wouldn't that have been the appropriate time to say that? That would have been a good time for the Holy Spirit to direct Peter to say that. But he didn't, did he? Here's some examples. Psalm 119, verse 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Listen to John. 1 John 3 and verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. Think John's serious about that? Don't be led away. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. What did David say once? 119, 172? All thy commandments are righteousness. John says, he that doeth righteousness, that is God's commandments, is righteous, even as he is righteous. Dear children, let no one lead you astray. And that's why Doug preaches. That's why we preach. Don't let anybody lead you astray. Don't let anybody come in here and try to preach a gospel that's not a gospel at all. Some examples very quickly. We'll just look. By faith, Abel, God told him what to do. He did it, didn't he? Worked out well for him, not so much for Cain. By faith, Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He obeyed every command. Chapter 6 and verse 22, 7 and verse 5. By faith, Abraham, Hebrews 11, verse 8. He did what God said, didn't he? How'd that work out for him? By faith, Amram and Jochebed hid Moses for 3 months. By faith, they did. They didn't fear the king. By faith, Rahab. Same result. Results of disobedience. Look at these. You've seen all these names before, haven't you? Adam and Eve had to work out for them when they disobeyed. You think they jumped up and down when they ran out of the garden? The paradise that God had prepared for them. Oh, goody, look now. Didn't work out well. Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire unto God. They died that day, didn't they? You remember the rest of that story? King Saul, he disobeyed God in chapter 13 and in chapter 15, and his kingdom was taken away from him and given to his little neighbor, David, the man that he tried to kill. Uzzah, who touched the Ark of the Covenant. What'd God say? Don't touch it. Don't get close enough. Israel, what we read in the beginning of our lesson, would not hear, would not hearken, and they suffered mightily. David in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, we've referred to him earlier this week. He and Bathsheba. And he said, my sin is ever before me. How we doing, folks? How we doing? Do we believe we need Bible authority? Do we teach that? Do we live like we do? We should, shouldn't we? Heaven is the eternal place for the prepared people. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you might be also. Just before Stephen died, what did he see? He said he beheld Jesus standing by the right hand of God. That's where Jesus is. That's where God is. And that's where we want to go. And that's where we want you to go. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to obey the gospel, then do that. Break the chains that are binding you. Break the pride, whatever's holding you back. And be obedient to the Savior that lived and died for you. You can do that right now while we stand on, while we sing.